Hey, some of you are aware, at a few times in the past, we have talked about Amira, and North River is partnering with Amira. Amira is a name that means warrior princess, and it's a Christian organization that is aimed at helping women escape human trafficking. And so this morning we have a guest speaker. Chet Harding is the director of development for Amira, and Chet comes to us with a whole lot of interesting background. For 20 years, he was involved in comedy, although today's not a comedic talk. And Chet is associated with Amira. He's also the executive director for the Chamber of Commerce in his town of Bedford. He told me a little while ago he has three daughters and thinks of that as one of the reasons why he got involved in this organization. I'm really, really glad that you guys are here to hear all of this. I just want to say, if you have young children with you, this might be one of those days when you want to make sure you put them in our kid zone. Chet's not going to be graphic, but we are talking about a very serious subject in sex trafficking. So, will you give a warm welcome to Chet Harding?
Thank you very much. It's interesting, yes, it did do I'm not gonna do comedy right now, but it is interesting, I do speeches a lot, and similar to comedy, nobody sits in the front row. Thank you two for sitting in the front row, but no, everybody always avoids the front row. As was said, I am gonna be talking a little bit today about sex trafficking, a lot of what I end up talking about is, some of it's hard to hear, we don't always talk about trafficking, a lot of people don't know that much about it, so I'm gonna be talking about some stuff that's kinda hard to hear. But I love that the first song was all about hope. Our slogan at Amira is Hope Lives Here, and we are all about hope. So while I am gonna be talking about some difficult subject matter, towards the end I hope to bridge that to the hope that we have in the work that we do and the hope that is out there and the good things that are happening through God and through the work that that we do and with our church partners as well that you are all helping with. So first though, I'd like to start with scripture. If I bring this remote up, right? Let's see. Oop, it's not working.
There it is.
Ah, there we go. Okay, great. So I'll read it from here. So this is from 2 Corinthians 5, 16 through 21. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for God, for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. I love this passage. It talks a lot about reconciliation, and that's, you know, the definition of reconciliation is to make debts even. And that's a lot of what we do. We work with a lot of vulnerable people who've been taken advantage of and try to reconcile their past with hopefully a vibrant future, both in Christ and just in economic mobility and stability and moving away from exploitation and into hope. So that's what we do. So like I said, I come from a world of comedy, and you know, I love that passage as well because it is about reconciliation. And in a lot of what, as I think about when I talk a lot about what I do, a lot of times I end up reframing what people know about trafficking. And what I mean by reframing is, some people think of it as a certain way, but then when you look a little closer at it, you learn a little bit more about what's actually going on. And that's actually something that I bring from the world of comedy. Reframing is done in comedy, and this is the only time where I might try to be funny. But reframing, in other words, is, so a classic example of reframing in comedy would be, if I were on stage and I'm, you know, just complaining, like, oh, I don't want to go out there. They're going to make fun of me, and they're going to make fun of my age. I don't really want to go. I want to. And then someone else would walk on stage and say, come on, Mr. President, it's time to go. It's time to go meet the press. That's reframing, right? You think you see one thing, but when then you pull back, and that's not a political statement. That can be done for, that's been done for Republicans, for Democrats. Doesn't matter. The point is, that what you think you see is not the full story. And that is true, I think, as well of trafficking. A lot of us don't know that much about it. So, like I said, when I talk, sometimes I get a little choked up too, because I do have three daughters, and I'm already getting choked up. because it's a pretty pervasive and a pretty pretty diabolical world of sex trafficking. So sex trafficking is, if we can go to the next slide, I'm sorry I can't control it. For some reason my phone is out of me. But human trafficking is the fastest growing criminal enterprise in the world. When I started doing this work, I did some research, and the International Labor Organization at the time had a statistic from 2016 that 40 million people were being trafficked in the world. 40 million people. That is Massachusetts, New Hampshire, Vermont, Connecticut, New York, New Jersey, all combined. That's the populations of those combined worldwide. 40 million people. So they updated that figure about 6 months ago, and the figure's from 2021. So in 2021, it became 50 million. 50 million, 25% increase in 5 years. At that same time, here in the United States, the National Human Trafficking Hotline rose 37% in that same 5 years. So it is something that happens. It happens all over the world, but it happens right here in the United States. It also happens right here, anywhere locally. Sex trafficking has been reported in every single county in Massachusetts. We also do some work in Connecticut, and it's been in every single county in Connecticut. So it's pretty pervasive. Again, estimated 50 million people, if you just go to the next slide. So I also did some research. Sex trafficking accounts for $100 billion of profit annually. $100 billion. So I started thinking, like, okay, that's a large number, right? $100 billion. What would that be like? So I did some research, and that's the same as if you the likes of Amazon, Coca-Cola, Disney, McDonald's, Walmart, MasterCard, Visa, combined their profit. That's how profitable this is. And because you're selling people, and you know, it's the fastest growing criminal enterprise in the world too, more so even than drugs, because you can sell someone over and over and over again rather than drugs just once. It's estimated that about, and that figure now is about up to 1 million, depends on the source that you look at, but according to Homeland Security, about 1 million people are involved in sex trafficking or being commercially sexually exploited right now. And again, the human trafficking hotline went up 37%. So it is everywhere. Recently, I grew up in the North Shore. We do a lot of our services up on the North Shore. And front page of the Salem Evening News a year ago had a man who was convicted of sex trafficking. You may have heard as well, recently in Cambridge, Massachusetts, there was a brothel that was taken down. They still haven't released the names of the buyers. Hopefully they will do that soon, because that's part of the problem. The demand is so high. So it's a huge problem. So if you just go to the next slide, in terms of the effect that it has, and actually the next slide after that, this is where this is a heat map of where sex trafficking happens. As Polaris is a group that measures they run the human trafficking hotline. And if you see, like, so when I got involved in this, I figured, a lot of people figured this, like, oh, it must be in the cities. Like, it's in the city, it's in New York somewhere, this happens. Doesn't really happen around here. It happens everywhere. And if you look, one of the hottest zones is right where we live. That 84-95 corridor, or all up in the Northeast, is a hot zone. It happens all over the place. It's been said that you can order a human in the same time it takes to order a pizza. It's that pervasive and that easy to do, unfortunately. So as you get into, like, well, why does this happen? What, you know, how does this happen? Or what are, you know, the women that we work with, what happens? And so, because some people think this, it's a choice, you know, that there might be a choice that they're making. Well, 87 to 89% of women who are involved in commercial sexual exploitation are not there by choice. They would leave if they could, but they don't have any other options. So 89% want to leave, and actually only 1% tend to actually be able to leave. A lot of times that's because they are either drawn into their trafficker, they're coerced in, and then if they get a criminal record, they can't get a job, they can't get housing, so they're kind of stuck in that situation. So 89% want to get out, only 1% do. If you go to the next slide, and the next slide after that, sorry. The average age of entry as well, this one always gets me, is between 14 and 17 years old. So again, if you talk about choice, there's, by definition, there's sort of lack of capability for that choice. And that always hits me as well, because I have a 15-year-old daughter, my oldest daughter is 15, and I cannot imagine that that happening to her. 69% of women exiting exploitation have the same symptoms as PTSD. We work with a lot of, what we do at Amira is we provide aftercare and exiting, so we try to help women exit their exploitation, and we provide trauma-informed aftercare. So there is a lot of trauma, a lot of long-term trauma that that a lot of these women have go through. Because if you can imagine, at 14 to 17-year-old, we work with women who are 18 and older. Most of them are probably in their mid-20s or 30s. This has been happening to them for a long time before they're actually able to leave. In fact, it takes usually about 8 or 9 tries of exiting before a woman is actually successfully able to exit. And there aren't a lot of services out there, so I did some research around that. So, you know, in terms of, well, where do women go, or what is out there for women? So I did some research, and I thought this was interesting. So, in New England, there are over 350 animal shelters, full animal shelters. Now, I have nothing against animal shelters. I have a dog. We got it from an animal shelter. That's great. 350 animal shelters, full shelters in New England, and there are less than 60 beds for victims of trafficking. So, if you talk about where our priorities lie, I think that needs a little adjusting because it's a little bit off. And that's, again, where we come into this idea of reconciliation. We are there, or Amira is sort of that exit ramp for the people that we serve, for the women that we serve. In 2022, we actually now have 2023 numbers. We had over 2,300 Nights of Freedom. That was actually up over 3,000 last year. So we continue to grow and continue to service women, getting them out of this situation. And really, Amira is that exit ramp. That's what we're here for. We're here both for them to literally get them out of a tough situation and onto economic mobility, but also we do have the ability to walk with them through that. And through that, and through our demonstration of the love of God and the love of Jesus, we do find, you know, we don't have a faith component that they have to believe because they've been through a lot of coercion. So we don't try to coerce them more, but we definitely are able to open up conversations about why we do what we do, and the fact that they're beautiful, the fact that they're valued, that we value them, and sometimes they've never had that before, and they don't know where that comes from. In fact, I'm gonna talk about this event that we have coming up. We do an event every year called Move for Amira, where we do individuals and teams do physical challenges to take on, and it raises awareness and money for Amira. And, my colleague, Mike DeStefano, some of you may know him. I know a couple people have talked with him before. He's a great guy. He did this unbelievable task where he scaled like 14 mountains in 3 days. I mean, it was crazy what he went through, and it was physically challenging. It was the most exhausting thing he's ever done. And he, you know, stumbled along the way, but did his best to complete what he could. And he had the chance to sit with one of the women who we serve. And he was talking about how difficult it was, you know, that it was hard to go on. He was thirsty, his body was aching, but he just kept going. And she looked at him like, why would you do that? And he said, well, I did it for you. And she just broke down in tears. I'm about to right now. Because it was beautiful to her. And she said, nobody has ever done anything like that, nothing near that to me. And that opened up a conversation with her about why he did that, what was important to him. And she is actually became a Christian through kind of not just because of that conversation, but through that process, decided to follow Christ, which is just a beautiful story. I've had moments like that as well, and we were helping this woman move into her apartment. So what we do when we work with the women that we work with is we do something called rapid rehousing. And what that is it takes a woman kind of out of the situation that she's in into a new location from where she's being exploited. In our own apartment, and that's a 2-year program, and over those 2 years we work on either getting them into college or into a vocational program or into a living wage job and into long-term housing as well. So that's the process that we do. And I was moving a woman in just a few months ago, and she had this big, beautiful mirror that she wanted, and she wanted it in her living room. And so I was like, that's great. It's interesting, you know, want this big mirror in the living room. But, you know, I'm figuring out where to hang it to make sure that it's lined up with a stud because it's really heavy. And as I'm hanging it, I caught the reflection of her looking at herself in that mirror and smiling. And then she came over to me and said, she gets me every time, it's been a long time since I've been able to look at myself in the mirror. And that's why she had it there, to be able to look at herself every day and know that she's beautiful and that she is a child of God. It's just, it wasn't, you know, that's why I do the work, and that's the hope that we try to bring in with what we do. So if you could just go to the next slide. That's another great thing about what we do as well. While I showed you that heat map, this is where all of our church partnerships are as well. It's all along that heat map. We completely believe in the power of prayer. We've seen it work. We've seen church partnerships grow. We have grown tremendously. So we now, our rapid rehousing program is actually at capacity, and we have a full wait list, which is that good problem, bad problem. Right now, we're in the mode of trying to continue to grow and expand because the need is still there, and the more that we can expand and grow, the more we can meet that need. We also right now have an 80% success rate, which is pretty phenomenal in the realm of what we do. Typically, a safe house kind of model has about a 40% success rate in terms of recidivism or going back or just leaving the program. We have an 80% success rate, and it's a beautiful thing to be a part of. You can go to the next slide. And we really focus on three pillars to try to work with these women to set them up for long-term success. The first is self-esteem, and that has a lot to do with that you are worthy, that you are important, that you are you're worthy of this of being someone who is being taken care of or being helped, and then to find your own independence and to live from there. Economic stability, it's a huge part of what we do because it is working with a very vulnerable population, and when you don't have economic stability, it's very easy to have to be to fall into a situation as well where you can be exploited again. So we really do in those 2 years really focus on. We actually just started a program of a paid internship program as well, where the women that we work with actually come in. They do a full DISC assessment, personality profile, vocational programs to figure out what might be a good fit for them. It's an amazing program. We just launched it this past month, and it's going extremely well, with the idea being we're trying to set people up for long-term success. And communal connections, and that is obviously where a lot of the relationships we have where churches come in as well. So we do try to have these women really make connections, and both with each other, through us as a community, and then also if it is something that they are interested in doing, exploring what a church home might mean for them. So that's what we really focus on, to try to take care of the whole person, so to speak. Just go to the next slide. And this, you know, I've talked a lot about the horrors of sex trafficking, and also the hope that we bring. And this is probably the best way I can demonstrate it. This is actually artwork that was done from one of our participants, and they're self-portraits. They're actually two paintings. So the first one is how she felt about herself before Amira, which, and some of the words up there are fear, trauma, failure, hate, no self-respect. And then the other side is after going through Amira, and since graduated and moved on from us, although we do provide services beyond graduation as well, but you'll see up there purpose, self-love, spirituality, identity. It's amazing to see some of the transformation that we're able to see. You know, we talk again about reconciliation, and we feel called to that. You know, we do feel there is a debt in this world, and some of these women have been through a lot, and it's our role, we feel, to try to reconcile that. And just like Christ reconciled us to God, we try to reconcile women to where they deserve to be. So that's what we do, and it's amazing to see. And I love coming out and talking about what we do. I know afterwards as well, I'm going to be available because a lot of times people have questions. I mean, I kind of touch the surface of what we do and the surface of the program or the problem overall. But after the service as well, I'm available for questions and to talk about what we do. But a lot of times after this, people do say, what can I do? You know, It feels kind of helpless. I may not see it. I don't know what to do. We work a lot around recognizing the signs of trafficking, about talking more about it. But also, we believe in a few things. First of all, the power of prayer. We are so excited that you are a church partner of ours. We really do. We see it working. We see it working in the lives of the women, and the growth of what we do has been, I've only been there for a year and a half, and we've like tripled in size. So it's really amazing. We've seen the power of prayer working. So if you can only do anything, pray for us. We appreciate that support. There is also, there's the opportunity to volunteer. Most of what we do is on the North Shore, but there are ways to get involved. There are less ways than there used to be because we used to have a safe house, and so there were opportunities to kind of do building projects and all that. Well, now we have individual apartments, and they have property managers. We don't have as much ability to do that, but we still have volunteers that help us in a number of different ways. And then financial support as well, and that is something that I know I think you're going to be talking about as a church, doing something called Move for Amira, which is happening in June, and that is a way that people, or individually, you can help support as well. We always love money because it does take a lot to do what we do. In fact, it's interesting. It's been said that a trafficker can profit $360,000 a year off of one woman. And for about $36,000, for a tenth of that, we can take a woman and put her through a program for a year. So we like to use that number a little bit because that shows that instead of exploiting people, for a lot less expense, you can take that person and give them a new life. So so I'm excited to be here. I'm excited that you're here. If you do have questions afterwards, I don't love talking about it, but I love that people have questions about it and that they want to know more about it. I want to close by saying we do have a prayer that we say whenever we have a meal together, whenever we get together with the women, where we light a candle and we do say, may this candle be a reminder of the hope that is out there. May we be a light in the darkness for these women, and may more women come to find the courage to join us at this table. So like we say, hope lives here. We've seen it transform lives. We really find a responsibility for it. You know, there's a psychologist named Julius Siegel. I don't know if anybody has heard of Julius Siegel before, but he did a lot of studies around, in particular, people who have gone through trauma. So he did a lot of interviews and working with people, a lot of victims from concentration camps, from really tough situations, and found that, you know, he was intrigued by what makes one person be able to survive that and maybe someone else not able to survive that. You know, what are the things that make you survive and be able to move on? And the underlying factor that he found was that someone told that person, I believe in you, you're going to make this, you can do this. And that we find the responsibility for. He calls it transferring hope. And that's what we do at Amira. We try to transfer hope, which is with these women, we constantly are saying them, we're demonstrating to them that we believe you, in you, God believes in you, that you can do this. You can do this. It's really tough. And it's something that it's not an easy fix. But we believe in you and you can do it, and we've seen it transform lives. So I would say that as well, beyond what we do, I think that's a beautiful idea of, can I be a transferer of hope? And what does that mean? Whether that's somebody, a child that you might have, a relative that you might have, someone you may know, a neighbor, but how can I be somebody that helps transfer hope? And that's what we're all about at Amira. So I thank you so much for being able to be here today, and for God putting me in this position. You know, I was talking earlier about how did I come to this, and it was just God showing me signs, you know. And I, again, probably because I have three daughters, I also have a son, but, you know, most of this happens to women, that it kind of called me to this work. And when I took the work on, I found out that the safe house that we were running, it was 2 miles from where I grew up, and I had no idea that that happened. So again, you talk about God sort of showing you signs of where you're supposed to be. I know that I'm where I'm supposed to be, and I really enjoy being able to meet a lot of people and talk about what's going on around you, because again, a lot of people think this is something that doesn't happen in their own backyard, or that it happens in cities, or it happens to immigrants. All of that does happen, you know. People, if you've seen the movie Taken, people think of like, oh, that's what happens, that people are chained to a bed, and all that. That's the majority of it is coercion, and the majority of it happens to U.S. citizens taking advantage of other U.S. citizens. In fact, about 50% of people who are trafficked initially by someone they know, so or a family member. So anyway, I'll stop bringing the room down on that. And again, end on hope. We love what we're doing. I love the ability to be able to see that growth and see the beauty. And again, Amira means warrior princess. We have warrior princesses that are in the process of just really becoming who they're meant to be. So thank you so much for having me here. And like I said, I'll be out the, in the other, in I guess classroom A afterwards, if there are any questions. But thank you so much. Appreciate it. Thanks.
Chet, why don't you stay up here? We'll pray for you before we make it more personal, okay?
Yeah.
Father, we thank you for Chet. We thank you for Amira. We thank you for leading him to get involved and to try and make a difference. We ask that you will make their efforts fruitful. We ask that you will provide the resources they need to fulfill the vision they have for this year and for the next year. And we also ask that you will give us great wisdom and discernment about how North River can partner with Amira. And Lord, we pray for the women who are influenced by Amira and who are led toward a way of exiting. And Lord, we ask that you'd give them great rapport, great trust, and that you would do marvelous things through Amira, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you.
Thank you. A couple of thoughts, just wrapping up with what Chet has brought to us. So about a year ago, North River partnered with Amira. What does that mean? We committed over a three-year period to, I believe it was three beds that we committed to. So there's a certain cost to create an opportunity for just one woman to escape this life and have a safe place to go. And we're venturing a little bit deeper into that. We will be talking about this move for Amira over the next few weeks, that project, and we have a prayer team as well. And if you have questions about that, Ann DeVoisin is here. Ann is on our GO team, our global outreach team, and Ann would be one person who could answer some of those questions. There are already some people who are involved on a regular basis on our prayer team, and obviously this needs a ton of prayer when you think of all the darkness that's around this. So thank you.